I had an impromptu past life regression with my wife, and I don't think she was my wife at the moment, but she had lost her keys, and I said, I know hypnosis now, we can go back and find your keys, and so I put her under to start the thing, and then she started speaking in this Scottish brogue. It's like, ah. And she never did any dialects. I mean, there's some people that just do dialects naturally, and right. Not for her. There, it started. He got it. He's all good. TJ's on top of it. So, hi, welcome. So it, and then in that lifetime, so we just to truncate this story, we explored that I was in that lifetime also with her. Kind of naturally. But then at a conference, we discovered there were other people in that same lifetime. Even my chiropractor was in that lifetime. She's seen me as a client. And you know, she's under and she's, you know, starting with the scenario. And I'm thinking, Inside I'm thinking, this is awfully familiar. And then sure enough, it's the same lifetime. It's like we travel in circles. You know, it's interesting. Sort of like real life. You know, there we are. So here we are. We've got nearly a full house, and maybe not full with persons, but full with energy, and that is primo. Very good. And I thank you all for coming. I'm Don Hood, Donald Hood. You've been called a number of things, mostly good things, which is always a plus. I've been doing this work for 30 plus years, something like that. I don't know when I started exactly, but it's been a long time. I have spoken here at all the conferences. For Mid-America, I've spoken every year. So that, I guess that's 41, 2 years. So there's that. Got my training in various places. Sid Snyder was my first teacher. And he was part of the Association to Advance Ethical Hypnosis, which is still running as the Second Tuesday Hypnosis Group, and we want people to come to that. It's a Zoom meeting now after 60-some years. It's the Second Tuesday Hypnosis Group. We meet on the second Tuesday of every month. Rain or shine. What? Well, we do have a Google channel that's got some of the videos on it, but if you put your name on here, I will also put you on the Second Tuesday Hypnosis Group list, and you will get a mailing, just tons of mailings, no, three a month for reminding you that the Second Tuesday is coming at the Second Tuesday, and you get a Zoom link and can join us. And we've had people in our group. We've got people from Arizona, Pennsylvania, California, New York. We've had a speaker from India, who actually is from Chicago, but he spends a lot of time in India. So this is your name and email, if you would graciously give that to me. That would be great.
What time is that at?
The hypnosis meeting is 8 o'clock on the second Tuesday.
Central Standard
Time, yeah, Chicago time. So I sign on about 1:45. We have a meeting that's an hour and a half to 2 hours, something like that. If Larry Garrett's talking, it goes longer. some people, it's like an hour, and boom, we're done. So it's a little fluid there. But we start at 8, and you get the link, and it's great. You know, we have a lot of speakers. Like I said, we have one from India. We're talking about energy. So the neat thing about the Zoom is that, you know, we all know this, is that you can Zoom from anywhere. So we had somebody walking one time, and so his screen was all jaggedy. They were at the meeting, but they were walking, so their background was was always moving. It was like, stop, sit down somewhere, please. So, but anyway, so what I started hypnosis with a past life regression mindset. That's what I was going into that for, because I felt that was a really good, expedient way to help people. Then I got nudged into doing the spirit releasement. I don't know whether you guys know about spirit releasement, but the class isn't about spirit releasement, so I won't take much time other than that's also what I do. And I've got some flyers out on the table, and I'll be happy to explain it to you off camera later. I'm in the Chicago area, see clients as they come to me. I'm not a big heavy marketer, but I have people coming on a regular basis. Anything else about me? Anything else about me that you guys want to know about?
You're too modest to share, but you received the Lifetime Achievement Award here last year. So.
Yes, I did. I was, which was really funny because Richard's up there talking about how Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's really good, and it's like, you know, given to people that have lifetime achievements. And blah, blah, blah. This year we give it to Donald Hood. Everybody gets up and, yay! I'm going like, what? Yeah. It's like, whoa. So it really surprised me. It's nice to be noticed. But yeah, you know what? I'm going to hand out the first handout because this ties in with that. Purpose.
Can I share something with the group?
Anything.
So, got my tickets out to see what prize I was going to win, and then they said, and our next prize is going to be a book from Don Hood. And I'm like, I said to the woman next to me, I said, I work on Hood. And what do you think name they call?
Did you get another book?
Yeah.
Oh.
I won your book.
Oh, good for you.
Well, see, with the magic, I love Don Hood.
Yeah.
And then
immediately, they called me.
It's all energy, and it all comes together. It's just amazing. We manifest all the time. That's how we got to here. So when, some people think, oh, you're manifesting, it's all woo-woo-woo stuff. But really, anything, what you think about, you become, and that comes to you, and everything else, thank you. It's just when you do it consciously for what you want is when it's really good. You need more of these things. And then there's the thing. It's the lunch crowd, so how many?
Okay, you need more, yeah?
We have lots. Amy over there. Well, hand them out. So thank you for
one more.
Okay, this handout doesn't have any direct reference to what we're doing with past life regression and forgiveness, but then again, it has everything to do with past life regression and forgiveness and the work that we do. I have no idea where you are in spiritually or theologically, and it doesn't matter because to me love is all there is, and so wherever you are is just fine. I got it out of high authority just not too long ago that love is all there is. I mean, I knew that, but he was speaking through me that love is all there is. Everything else is distractions. So I had a Coca-Cola for lunch because I had a pizza, and pizza and Coke kind of go together. And so, was Coca-Cola good for me? No, it's got phosphoric acid in it. All the colas do. It's got. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, you do. There's a story about this fire company who had a hazmat guy talk about all these chemicals and how to handle them and everything, and got done with the talk, said, any questions? And this guy in the back says, what about phosphoric acid? Oh, phosphoric acid, it's all this horrible stuff, and it's like, well, you got to do this and this and this and this. Why do you ask? It's in this can of Coke I'm drinking. And it is. If you look on the label, it's so it's not a lot, but that's probably what gives it that little bite, you know. But anyway, it goes with pizza. But now, is that the good, loving thing for me to do? No, health-wise, but psychologically, that was good. It's kind of what I wanted and had, and it was a good thing. distractions. The horrific things that are happening in the world are horrific, horrible things. But they too are distractions. And it's kind of hard to get your head around that. But we are all children of God. Some people hide it really well. Just incredibly well. It's strange. You look at it and say, really? Yes, they are. But in the big picture, the huge picture, it's all distractions. We all go home. We have to regroup, come back if we don't, you know, if we haven't got it. You know, if we're not manifesting God's love through us or the Creator or all that. Time for my Jesus story. So Jesus comes to the guys. He says, listen, I talked to Dad. I got him down to two. You got to love him with all your heart and soul, and you have to love yourself. In the Bible, it says you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Does anybody see a loophole in that?
Yeah.
If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. Or you don't need to love your neighbor. You know, it's like, ha, don't love myself. I can shoot you. But that's the thing. But that's not what he said. He said, love yourself. Find the kingdom of heaven within and all that. Now, let's say you don't believe in God. Okay, fine. You know, he doesn't mind. He'll go ahead with that. But, anybody who knows my classes knows that but is behold the underlying truth. You can look at it in an astrophysics kind of sense or a quantum sense where you need to connect with this omnipotence, whatever that is, and allow that to come through you, like plug into that 240-volt outlet of the power of the universe, the love, because that's what it is. So, Larry needs one of these. Yeah. Anyway, this is on the wall of my living room. And I won't read it to you. I usually read it to my class, but I won't take the time to read it. But it's just really good. Alan Cohen is quite a good author. He's one of the early authors in my path. So one of my early teachers. We all have teachers. So let's go back to, not back to, let's go over to the idea of past lives. How many do past life work? Some. How many have had a past life regression that they've experienced? Larry, you have? Oh, wow. It's always people have been around forever, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Of course. So, those of you who are not familiar with, I mean, is everybody familiar with past life regression? At least that, reincarnation and things? If your client doesn't believe in reincarnation, and they'll come to you like, well, I don't believe in reincarnation, this stuff can't work, you can explain it in a way that we are going where your higher self wants to take us, and your higher self will create a metaphor to help you understand what's going on in your lifetime now. So it's a win-win any way you look at it. Past life regression works. Now, what we do normally is we go on the journey, we do whatever our past lives are, and we usually get to the end, and then we ask what was the lesson in that lifetime. And then we process that. We let go of trauma, we let go of karma, things like that. So I will explain, we will do a past life regression, a group thing if you want. We'll do that in a moment. But why would somebody come to you for a past life regression?
Trying to have it that they haven't been able to release any other way, consciously even regressing to cause in this life.
Okay. Or yeah, releasing trauma.
Yeah. And I get a lot of people that are just curious.
And just curious, okay.
Trauma.
And trauma, releasing traumas.
I think an interest in something from the past that keeps drawing us to that, and we want to go see.
Things like, yeah, somebody who's like major white guy in Chicago is like just filled, drawn to the Japanese culture or something. Why would that be? Well, it could be because there's a past life involved there. Richard?
Yeah, people that I've gotten in the past slides, I was doing regression hypnosis to find an initial sensitizing event, and they will go into a past life, and then it's anything.
There you are. Yeah, yeah, you're on that journey anyways. And that's, as a good hypnotherapist, we go where the client is going to take us, wherever you go. Okay, it's like you're following with the camera going along. But that's exactly what happened to Brian Weiss. You guys know Brian Weiss, that, you know, one of the fathers of this whole movement, that he's this major psychiatrist, and this gal has gone to a past life. It's like, and then it's okay, well, that's quiet in there. And then I remember reading that first book, and he said that he was in the shower, and his uncle came to him or something in the shower and said, "You need to write the book." So he did, and that. But he did, you know, he got a lot of flack from that, because, you know, it's that woo-woo stuff. But it isn't woo-woo stuff. When you really look at, in the words of this alternative doctor that I had one time, the acupuncture guy, he says, doctors talk about, all, you know, the regular MDs, or MD-ities, as another doctor told me. He said that they talk about all this alternative medicine, when really they're, the Western medicine is the alternative, because this other stuff's been around forever, and it's been working forever, because it's all energy. Again, it's all energy. Everything is energy. So trauma, curiosity, different things like that. I've had people say, "Oh, why would I want to do that? I can't handle the stuff I'm dealing with now." Aha, exactly why you'd want to come do this. You know, so it. Anybody else? What? Okay.
Question.
Well, a question, or why would you want to come to?
Phobias.
Yeah, phobias. Yeah, people who've. Yeah, I had a kid who, a young lad who, would not go into water, even taking a bath to get clean. It was troublesome, but he had drowned in a prior life, so we cleared that up, and it was just like the next week or so that he was at a company picnic with the family, and he was in the pool till, you know how kids are, till they're like raisins and blue, and because he was having a great time because the phobia was gone. I had another woman who came to me about another water issue. Pool water's fine. Natural water? Nope. Not at all. And yet she was going to go on a vacation with her husband snorkeling in the Bahamas or something. So she came to me to see what we could do about it. It was three sessions. The first two, very benign. Boom, boom. We didn't go anywhere, really. But, you know, so we did a little guided meditation. And she was happy, walked out. Came back the third time, and bam, she's in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the night, and getting eaten by a shark. So the first two times was the higher self was getting her used to the idea of, okay, we're going to go on a journey now. We're going to go on a journey. It's all good. It's all fine. It's all safe. And then, bam, she's in there with the shark. So we resolved that, and she's, you know, she was fine. She went on the snorkeling vacation. Speaking of that, that reminded me. Kate was supposed to remind me of this.
Sorry.
No, it was perfect. I had another client who came to me who had tried doing it herself and had a past life regression tape. You know, do it yourself, and you can go on your journey, and it was fine. And she got to a point where she liked this woman. She liked this guy who she was trying to have a relationship with, but the chemistry wasn't working from his side, and she was trying to figure that out. Well, in this lifetime that she went back to, they had met, and then she just popped out. That's as far as she got, where they met in that lifetime. So, fine. Now she's with me, and she's sitting next to me here and says, "Oh, it's Bob." And then she says, "He shot me and clamped onto my arm like a vice." I said, "It's okay. It'll be fine. Just breathe through it." And so she relaxed, and, you know, that was fine. And then he laid on top of her and shot himself. He was an undercover cop that he thought she ratted him out, exposed him. So it was a messy triangle to begin with. But that's how that resolved. But the thing with that issue was that her higher self protected her and didn't want her to go through that trauma again until she was in a safe place, which was with somebody who knew how to walk her through it, like you guys. So it's important that your client feels, you guys know this, it's important wherever you go that your client feels safe and secure. You know, that's the deal. So, shall we go somewhere?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. This will be great. Yes. Where do you want to go? Yeah, we can dim the light.
Thank you.
You're not going to need to write anything.
Thank you. Do I need my shoes? Can I take them off?
You can take your shoes off. You can take your socks off. You take your jacket off. You should, well, keep the important parts covered. That's all we ask. But we could turn the lights off completely, and you could whatever you want. It's all good. But
if this is the first regression we started with.
Well, that's true. So okay. No, I'm directing this. It's my birthday suit. I got this for my birthday. You guys are great. Wherever we go is going to be just fine. That's the important thing to always remember. Always remind your clients that you will always be safe here, but we could go anywhere. So, breathe in and release. Take another deep, deep, full, complete breath. Breathe in. Hold it for a moment and then just release it out. Like that. And just let that go through your whole body. You've done countless hypnosis sessions this weekend. And in your lives, you've gone all over and gotten into this perfect space. Every breath you take helps you to drift down deeper and deeper into this perfect, relaxed state. Every beat of your heart. Every breath. Your breath. Is life. Flows through your whole being. Drift gently down to where you need to do this work. Now imagine a staircase. Staircase has 10 steps. You know which way they go. But I want you to walk these stairs one at a time, and in your mind, count them aloud in your mind, starting with 10, going to 1. And just begin with 10, 9, and so on. And as you're going down these steps, or up these steps, your higher self is pulling together the information that you need for this point in time. Your higher self that loves you beyond measure and knows everything about you since your soul's creation. And as you drift on these stairs, you're going deeper and deeper to that perfect place to step off onto our journey. Most of you have finished this path on the stairs. The others can catch up. Just float on to the end there. And I want you to imagine now three doorways. Three doors in front of you. Behind one of these doors is the information that we seek. Behind one of these doors, of these three, is the information that your higher self has placed for you. Just for you. And just for now. Notice which door you choose, which door you're drawn to. And when you are ready, take a deep, full, complete breath and release as you go through that door. And now that we're on the other side of this door, what are you sensing? What are you sensing first? What do you notice about this space, whatever it is, this time, the information that's coming to you now? You might notice that you're wearing different clothes. You might notice what time of day it is. You might notice what's under your feet. But let's take a breath, breathe it in, and release and go to the next and get significant point. Notice what has changed, what new information is coming in. What kind of emotions are you feeling? Is there something that needs to be dealt with at this point? And if there is, you can breathe in and release and allow that to become resolved. Knowing that, yes, you are in this space and time, wherever this is your journey. But also notice that your higher self is bringing you on this journey. You are safe here in this room, but you are also safe wherever you've traveled off to. You're always loved, always protected. Whatever you encounter, take another deep breath and let's go to the next significant point in time. And again, notice all the details. All these details that you can bring back to the present moment. And then, if you like, you can take another deep, complete breath and release and go to the end of this lifetime. And notice what changes take place. What kind of transition is evolving in here at this point. Notice that you are loved. Whatever has happened in this lifetime is part of your lesson, but you're always loved. And so we're on this other side now of this transition. Look back on this lifetime that you've done. It's kind of a quick one we've done here, but notice what lessons have risen to the surface. What piece of information that was important? It might be just a piece of information, a piece of the puzzle. Now take another deep breath and hold it just a moment, and then release. Allow yourself to settle in where you are here. And in a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And on 5, you'll be wide awake, alert, feeling better than before. You'll remember all the details here and more, perhaps. More details may come to you later on. But you've opened the door here. Whether this is your first experience or your 101st experience, each one is all part of the puzzle of our lives. One, we're on our journey back up now. Two, coming up with each number. Three, almost there. Four, take a nice easy breath. And five, eyes open, wide awake, alert, feeling better than before. Welcome back. So I hope you went somewhere, and I'm glad you came back. That's important. This is the next handout that I want everybody to do. This is something I do with my clients. Which, it's okay. It's okay. I'll just hand some of these over here, and I'll hand some of these over here. And now, this, like I said, you may have had, this may have been your first or your 101st or whatever, but when I work with my clients, if they come in just for one and done, and they want to walk away, fine. But if they want to really explore what the nature of past life regressions is, that we get puzzle pieces of who we are. Right now, in this lifetime, I've had almost lifetimes in this lifetime. I think we all have had various lifetimes in their lifetime. But I'm very spiritual, and I deal with hypnosis from a spiritual background of the past life regression and the releasement therapy. That's been my lifetime in this lifetime. But if I go back into other lifetimes, I'm also a minister, but other lifetimes I have been many times, a minister or a monk or a priest, those things. Interestingly enough, I've also been a warrior. I've been a samurai. I was a right-hand man to Genghis Khan. Been to that one 4 different times. That's a whole other class of time to explain all of that. But I was even one of the 12 disciples. So Bartholomew, buddy, if you're interested. So all puzzle pieces, but all directing me to this moment in time, and that's what this page is for. If you look at it. It's life patterns, and with your client, or you yourself, you start filling in this information, the time, the place, the who, you know, the basic questions, and then the lessons, you can begin to see a pattern of lifetimes that led your client or you to this point, to this here and now. And, okay, let's say I don't pay attention, and the next lifetime I come in and I'm some kind of warrior. You know, it means like, oh, okay, I didn't pay attention enough, and I've gone off the rails again. Or my next lifetime will be more like this lifetime, only at a higher intensity. You know, if we're paying attention, we can grow. If we don't, we don't. But we don't get to skip. People ask me, what about people who commit suicide? Well, it's like they dropped out of the class. They have to come back and get that class again. So we don't get to skip the lessons. The big over lesson is manifesting all that energy, whether we see it as God's life or love energy, or whether we see it as manifesting the quantum essence of the universe. It's all the same thing. You know. So, this page makes sense. You can use that with your clients if you wish. But it kind of gives a like a bigger, you know, picture of what's going on. You know, we get because all these lifetimes are puzzle pieces. And one lifetime, you might get this puzzle piece that doesn't make sense. So we set it aside, and then maybe another lifetime will it'll make sense. Oh, that fits over here. Or it could be a pond piece, and we think, okay, we'll put that there. And then we come to the next lifetime. Oh no, that's part of the sky. The more information you get as you do these things, the better it is. You know, you get a better. Better is kind of a qualitative term. It's what?
Clearer.
A clearer picture. Yeah, it's not better or worse. You know, people can get one lifetime. It's like, oh, that clears up everything, and then they're happy and they go out and they're all good. Some of the lifetimes that we have. Oh, let's bless you. Let's see. Here's some more. I used to teach school, so handouts were the big thing. That's why I got into teaching, so I could the ditto machines. You know the smell of that. You know. You know that you see the kids. You know they go, oh good handouts, and they're smelling that. But we're in there zipping these things off. You're like, woohoo! You know, who needs drugs? No, not at all. But anyway, these are some useful books that have given me insight for past life regression. So it's not a formal bibliography, but there's some really good books in here. Actually, the one Henry Leo Bolduc, the second author down, Life Patterns, I'm in that book. But you don't know it because he didn't put my name on it. But it's one of those warrior priest lifetimes. He's talking about that, and that's when I was with Genghis Khan. In that, I was in the middle of a battle and threw down my weapons and rode out and found a teacher, and then was pushed out of the compound that we were in where I'd learned about unconditional love. And I was supposed to go out and teach. I found my a village that we had raped and pillaged. And they recognized me, and so they were upset. And I was sentenced to death. So I'm sitting in the Zen position. Do you guys know how that is? That's where you're like kneeling down. So the session with Leo, I was there for an hour in that position. My legs were gone. But the thing that was really cool, so I had all this negative karma that I built up, being a right-hand guy to Genghis Khan. You know, I mean, lots of bad stuff. So I'm going to be put to death. the guy that was going to execute me looked at me with unconditional love. No karma connection there. He chopped off my head. Felt like a head of cabbage. Going. The whole room lit up with bright light. And I was free. My karma was paid. So I could go on my continue on my spiritual path. So the question was, after we did this meditation, what was the worst day of your life in that lifetime? When I got pushed out of the compound to go on my way. The best day? When I got my head chopped off. How was your day, dear? Oh, good, I got my head chopped off. You know? But that's the whole karma thing. It's all balance. It's all balance. So we can go to any questions about past life regression and how you do it with your clients or anything you want to share? Larry?
Your story reminds me that sometimes death for the person who died is not nearly as bad as for the relatives that are left.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, death, you know, death sucks for the people that are left behind. But the ones that go over, well, they're on their next journey, you know.
So I did a past life regression with Larry. This was years ago in another little town. And the interesting thing that I realized when I look back, and we took notes as we regressed this, my handwriting changed.
Ooh. Your handwriting changed. That's
the thing I used to do. Past life or this life, you start with their handwriting changing over time. Because that's subconscious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fascinating. It just the more you do this, the more fascinating it is, the more interesting all these stories are. I had one fella that was he was speaking street Sanskrit. Now we all know some Sanskrit words. Namaste is probably the most common one that we all know. And I've known, you know, I knew before this, I knew some Sanskrit words. This guy speaking Sanskrit, I recognized it. It's like, whoa. And I was recording it, and I took it to this Indian friend of mine. She's a professor at a college, and she listened to it. And says, "This is street Sanskrit. This is like 1,500 years ago they spoke this." Ooh, and he's just talking away. So it's interesting how everything unfolds, and it's, you know, we think time is linear on this plane. Because otherwise it'd be real confusing for us if we, you know, really had it all at once. But it does exist all the time. You know, what time is it?
Now.
Good. Where are we?
Here.
Here, yes. So that's it. That's where we are. So we're in that quantum space. It is only here and now. You know. So how does this tie into the forgiveness stuff, because that's the other half of all of this, if you read your thing, which you probably did because you came in here, you chose this. And I appreciate you coming in. Did everybody sign the email thing?
I didn't, but I know.
Okay. Part of that is just it's the number of how many people are in here. So forgiveness. Without... You won't be punished. Forgiveness, I think Gandhi said at one point, I think it was him, that not to forgive is like holding a hot coal waiting to throw it at your enemy. You know. There's some other quotes in here. Forgiveness is the key to action and freedom. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. I've got a love and forgiveness class that I've done in 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. So it's a long thing, and it's a whole process thing. But we're going to do bits of it there. Life is an adventure in forgiveness. That's Norman Cousins said that. He's the guy that laughed himself to health. Forgiveness is better than revenge, for forgiveness is the sign of a gentle nature, but revenge is the sign of a savage nature. And then here's Gandhi again. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. We are taught in, you know, in a lot of the texts that we need to forgive and forget. You've heard that. I'm sure you've heard that around. What happens when we forget our lesson?
You have to repeat it.
If you forget your lessons, you have to go back and learn it again. And the universe will give you that opportunity. If you forget your lesson, there'll be here we go again. And it's usually stronger. Usually a stronger lesson the next time around. It's like, oh, you didn't quite get it. So now we'll really sock you with it. So we need to forgive and let go. Release the trauma of it. Remember the lesson. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven. For everyone needs to be forgiven. So that's... And this is something that's important too. If we could read the secret history of our enemies, we would find in each person's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm hostility. So we get injured by people sometimes, or our clients get injured somehow or another, and usually it's fear-based stuff, whatever it is. Only love and fear are the two choices we have, of course. So it's not a love thing, it's a fear thing. And even if there's a guy coming down on you with a dark alley with a big knife, you can bet that he's dealing with fear issues. But also, he's not ready for a hug. So you probably need to love yourself and get out. You can bless him as you're running away. But he's not ready for a hug. There's some people that aren't ready for a hug yet. But you can send that love to them. That works. We know about the energy of doing that. But we don't know their history. We don't know the life that they had, that they grew up with. They could have had a father that was horrendous and beat him all the time. That's why this guy's a real jerk. He's not a jerk isolated from the rest of the universe. Maybe he's had lifetimes where he's had all kinds of troubles. And not that we're going to be able to get him into a client situation where we can work with him, but, anybody who's taking my classes, but stands for behold the underlying truth. The truth of it is we can work with our clients and help them release the trauma. We're not asking them to release the trauma and go out and have a beer with this guy. You know, that can be finished. That can be done. But we're releasing all the trauma that goes with that. Here's something that I just read in another place. In Matthew, in the Bible, it says, then Peter went to him and said, Lord, how often must I forgive my brother if he wrongs me? As often as seven times? You probably have heard this. And he says, no, not seven, but 77 times. There's somebody who I just read about has been making bracelets that are not the 108 from, in a rosary, but they're 77 beads, and then every 10, they have another bead that's a gratitude bead. So it's love and forgiveness, and these are the 77 times that he's talking about. So I thought that was an interesting thing. In our society, forgiveness is often seen as weakness. People who forgive those who have hurt them or their family are made to look as if they really don't care about their loved ones. But forgiveness is tremendous strength. It is the action of someone who refuses to be consumed by hatred and revenge. So really, the forgiveness is the strength, and the strength that we need to help ourselves and our clients. As I said earlier, I think I said something about we're all children of God. Some people really hide it so well. And it's discouraging when they cross our paths or they're in our face. And it is tricky sometimes when we're up against it and You're trying to be full of love and light, and they're right in your face pushing your buttons, and it's like... I had that happen to me up at the marina where I had my boat. There was a fellow who was very toxic. And I could feel my cortisol just dump right, like whoosh, right in. And I walked away. And just luckily, there was a woman who had a beautiful boat on the other side of this, another dock over. And she invited me on board. She had a friend, and we sat there and talked. And she's most one of the loving, gracious people that I know. It's really, right, she's Malaysian, and her husband's a pilot, and just a lovely couple. And it was such a release. It was just like, whew, thank you so much, to go from this other stuff to this love environment. And so we need to seek those out. And we need to be that also. We need to be those love environments for people.
So, Don, do you think that, like, that's a test that you're giving in the universe to recognize it and to reground
it? It was a test for me?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, I think it really was. Yeah, I didn't shoot him.
Well, you shoot him with daggers.
I didn't push him into the water either. It just was... And again, we need to look at this in the love and fear balance sheet. This man, he's wealthy. He's accumulated a lot of stuff. He's high up in the ranking of his business and all that kind of thing. But he has all this fear based. Bovine excrement in him, and that's who he is. I was talking with Carm earlier about the difference between religion and spirituality. When I have my client form, the intake form, and then I call it the nuts and bolts that they write in and everything, a question is, what is your religion and what is your spirituality? They're not always lined up. You know, I'm sure you know somebody who thinks of themselves as good evangelical Christians, and yet they're not following the path of Jesus at all. You know, it's all judgment and shame and everything else. When in fact, there is no judgment, no guilt, no shame. Yes. I know this. Yes.
So I'm very curious. In the beginning, you just kind of passed by saying I was one of the disciples, I was following you.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think the other disciples are on the planet now during these times, and are you being called to come together in some way or to help humanity, or is this your particular pathway?
I'm not sure. I haven't met any of the other guys that I'm aware of. You know, maybe they've gone by or something. But that's a good question. And maybe what?
They're probably women now.
Kate said, if you didn't get it on the recording, Kate said they're probably women now. The other 11. I'm still a guy, I think. But that is a good question. You know, are they? I discovered that when I was writing up the litany for, I was a part time pastor at a Unity Church, and I wanted to do a communion service. But I was writing it up the way I saw it. And my wife, who was very connected, there's a few of you that remember her, she said, well, you ought to know, because you were there. And then found out that I was Bartholomew. I was like, well, okay. That seemed to ring true, because there's a confirmation I get right here, between my throat and my heart chakra, when something really hits home. But the communion thing, I mean, to bring that up here, was not really the blood and the body. It was the divinity that's in the blood and the body is the same as the divinity in each of us. That God is in everything. You know, lift up a stone and I'm under there, and piece of wood and that sort of thing in the Gospel of Thomas. But it's God is everywhere. And so that's what the communion was. To share that divinity in all things.
So
And so that's how I got into that. There's a lesson where in Nepal, you can't get fruit. It's a significant part of the story. And there was an avatar, about 14 years old, who really knew everything. You know, he was really connected. The three elders of the town went to him and said, "We're going to test him." Said, "We'll give you an orange if you tell us where God is." And he said right back, "I'll give you three oranges if you can tell me where God is not." And that's the thing. So whether you believe in God as this guy on a throne, where, you know, it's a nice, warm, fuzzy image, or think of him as Howard, as in Howard, be thy name. It's that divinity is in all things. It's in all of us. So that's something we need to help our clients tap into, whether they see it as I'm a child of God or I'm a child of the universe. Like in Desiderata, it says, "You're a child of the universe. You have a right to be here." You know. And like in the first thing I gave you guys, the purpose. Connect. Pay attention. And share that with everybody. And then we can work on the forgiveness. Everything. Let's see. Values. We'll do this real quick. And we're going to do another session real quick. This is something that I will give you this too. You know, this thing speakers always giving out free stuff. Well, this will be a meditation that you guys can use. And I use it with all my clients. This is not it. This is talking about values. When we are talking about forgiveness, we can use these sentences. I value my health, creativity and strength more than justification and self-punishment. I value my joy, or value joy more than joylessness. I'm not going to read all of these things. I value love more than fear, love more than anger, prolonged grief. So these are sentences that you can use to help your clients let go. Because letting go, thank you. Letting go is the big thing. Because all of that's in the past. It's like looking back at the wake of our boat. I'm a boater. But, you know, when we're boating, when I'm sailing, I'm looking forward and working the sails to go forward. And if the wind changes, then I change a little bit to make it go where I want it to go or where I can go. Sometimes it's at a 1.5-hour trip to Kenosha from Racine normally took us 5.5 hours because the wind was coming right at our nose. So we're like tacking way out this way, and then tacking way out this way, then tacking back and forth. So it was a long trip. But again, like real life, it's the journey that's the important thing. And that was fun. It was good. So life, that value thing is good. But looking forward, we are in the now. We've talked about that. So anything in the past, if we are concentrating on the stuff in the past, where is it now?
Here.
In the here, the present. So we're also, I mean, on a chemistry level, we're bringing the chemistry from that trauma that we had way back here into this moment. And, you know, if your client is saying, "That son of a bitch, he did this and that and this, I'll never forgive him," it's like, right. All that chemistry from that trauma way back here is now living in your client's body and causing all kinds of stress and disease and everything else. We need to let them breathe. ABC, always breathe continuously. It's the ABCs of life. There's another one that somebody said something in one of the other, oh, that probably made a noise. I don't remember what the reference was, but in my head it was like something about we need to always be creating. So we need to act always create today. So there's two acronyms, right? So let's do this other journey, and then we can come back and talk about what we're going to go. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little guided meditation, and this will tie into the whole trauma release stuff and forgiveness thing, but also even more. You don't even need to release anything, but coming into this. So I'll tip this up a little bit more. This is the pineal gland and heart chakra music. It's 963, 639, and 396 hertz if you have done anything with music and frequencies and that sort of thing. Yeah, you're a big energy guy, you know. Know all this too. You know, it's all energy, you know, it's all good. So we tap into it. So let's go on our next journey. Take a deep breath. Breathe it in and release. Breathe in again. Deep breath and release. And just kind of go into normal breathing. Let your eyes close over if they're not already. And just settle into where you are. It's nice. It's nice. Everything is nice. Imagine, if you will, a meadow. Nice sunny day. Perfect temperature. Butterflies, fluffy clouds. Tall grass. A path. The path is soft under your feet. You take a step or two and it feels good. Just feels good. You might even have a smell of the grass and the earth. And you follow this path through this meadow. And as you're walking a little ways, you look up ahead and you see a forest. Very nice forest. Full, deep forest. But there's an opening where this path leads to. So you go over to that opening and you step into the forest. And as you step into the forest, then it's also a soft path. You can feel it, the temperature change, it's a little cooler. You can breathe deep this energy that's there, the oxygen that the trees give us, the energy that the trees give us. It's all there as we walk down this path. Pinpoints of light come through the canopy of the leaves and highlight some of the wildflowers on the floor of the forest. And we walk down further, and there's a little curve, and we go around that bend, walk a little further, and there's another, almost like a doorway, another opening in the forest. And we walk through that, and we find ourselves in a grassy area, almost like a huge natural room of soft grass. You can feel it in your feet. You can breathe that in. The oxygen is way up in here, and it just feels so good to be in this space. And in the center of this area, there's a large stone bench. Pretty good size, and it looks like it's been there forever. In the center of this bench, there's a goblet. And you go over to it and look inside the goblet, and you look inside and you see it's full of liquid. It's full of liquid light. And you pick it up and you put it to your lips. And you tip it up and you drink, and it's cool and soothing and energizing. And you drink and it begins to fill your body. You can feel it. It's almost as if your body was empty and now it's being filled with this liquid light. And you keep drinking because there's no end. It's just this full goblet of liquid light for you. This is your goblet of liquid light. And you drink and drink until you are completely full, perfectly satisfied. And you can set the goblet down on the ground, and then you sit down on this bench and swing your legs up and lie down, and it fits your body perfectly. It's got the curves just perfectly to support your body absolutely perfectly. And you feel the warmth coming up from the stone into your bones. And it feels good and healing. And you feel the warmth from the sun above, not bright at all, but life-giving, nurturing, healing, blessing. And you breathe. You breathe in this energy. You feel this blessing on you wholly and completely. You are safe. And you breathe in again. And now it's time to swing your legs back over the side. And you stand up and you take your goblet and you set that in the middle of the stone very carefully, knowing that that is going to be there for you whenever you need it. It will be there for you forever. And you walk over to the opening to go back, feeling the grass under your feet, the energy in the space. And you turn and thank the stone, and you thank the goblet, and you thank the space for all this loving energy that is given to you. This is your safe space. This is a safe space you can come to any time you want, whether you need it or not. If you feel like, I'm going to breathe into my safe space. And you can take a deep breath and release and be in this space and drink from that goblet and lie on the stone and be full of this life-giving energy. But now it's time to say goodbye for a moment or two or till the next time. And you thank the space, and you turn along around, and you walk back that path through the forest, and you notice that the colors are brighter, the energy feels stronger. It feels good. And you walk all the way to the edge of the forest, and you thank the forest for being there for you too. And then you walk out into the meadow, and you notice all the details there seem to be sharper and more full, vibrant. All of this is for you. All of this you can come back to any time. As you come to the edge of the meadow, you can allow yourself to come back. Allow yourself to breathe yourself up and come back here now. So, This is what I call the safe place meditation. And I developed this a long time ago. But this, I do, this is one of the things I do for people who just don't seem to be going anywhere. You know, I'll slip this in because they probably need a safe place to go. You know. But it's also, it's the like the foundation of the love and forgiveness. Because what we do in the process of this, and we got time. So we can go through this process if you want to go. I'll explain it, and then we can actually do it if we got time and you want to do this. The process then is we have our clients do free writing. Does anybody know what free writing is? Everybody, I taught English, so it's like that's one of the things I taught. Free writing is it's sort of you just start writing on a journal, you know, and you just write whatever comes through. And as an English teacher, by the time you get down to the bottom of the page, you'll have something to write about. So then you can set that and then write about whatever has come through. But what we do in the forgiveness workshop is we have our clients either an issue or a person that might come to mind that they want to work on the forgiveness part of. They can have that in their mind and then write whatever comes out in that. And then when they get done with that, then we go back to this. We initially do the safe place thing. Then we do the writing. Then we go back to the safe place. And the thing we do in the safe place is we come to the edge, sort of like talking over the fence kind of thing. We bring in this consciousness, this higher consciousness, we bring that person or the issues that we're trying to forgive as close as need be, not into that safe space, but they're outside, just outside, and we connect with them. The client looks them in the eyes and says, "Why the hell did you do that to me? Why were you so mean to me? Why did you? Whatever it is." And then they have an opportunity to respond. "Well, I didn't know any better. My dad beat me as a kid, and that's all I knew. Or, in a lifetime, you did this to me, so I'm doing it to you." You know, that whole karma, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I shoot you, you shoot me, I shoot you, you shoot me. Who's going to say, okay, let's be done? Yeah, there was a movie, one of those young people's movies. It was medieval thing, and there were two knights that were leading two factions of kids. And we find at the end that they were really brothers. But as the bad brother is pushing... pushing the sword into the good brother, he's for kids it's kind of a traumatic, I would think. But anyway, he's pushing this blade in, and the good brother says, "I forgive you." And the guy goes, "No, you're not supposed to forgive me. You're supposed to be pissed off. But no, I forgive you." So that he broke the karmic tie there. He was done. This guy still has to pay for, you know, a murder. And he will. He'll learn to love eventually. But this guy's done with the karmic thing. It's like, I'm done with that. You know, we don't need that anymore. Just like the guy who chopped my head off didn't do it with anything other than, this is what we need to do. You know, I love you unconditionally.
So then, what if you're the person that wants to be forgiven? You know, that you wronged somebody.
Okay, but you're the client still? So you're standing in your safe place and you've got somebody you want to ask forgiveness, yes. Then with it, that's a really good question. So there, the question is that it's the person that your client is the one that needs to be forgiven. Well, same kind of thing. You come up and you have this dialogue. My time is fine, isn't it? 10 minutes. You got all the time you need. Yes. and time is now. The thing about the client, you're still doing that dialogue with a person who maybe has died. You know, that happens in families and stuff. That, I didn't ask for forgiveness, and then she died on me. But then you just go back, and then you can meet in the safe place. So you're meeting in this safe place. This is the important thing. You're meeting, and you have a true dialogue with this other person. Whatever you need to say, you can call them anything. I mean, this is where you don't get to hit anybody. But it can be, you know, verbally, whatever it is, back and forth, until it gets resolved. And that will get resolved because it's all on a higher level. And then, this is the cool part, you start sending love to the other person. Or maybe you feel it, like if you've asked forgiveness and you get that love coming back through. But just like Randy with that exercise we did where you're loving, sending the loving light back and forth, that love light goes back and forth to each other. And when that gets, you say, okay, now when that gets full and that balances out, then you're giving it to the other. Notice when it comes back to you. Then when that is full, then it's complete. You know, there's the balance, the karmic balance, everything. It's like, whew, okay, we're good. You can let the other person go with love and light, and they can fade into the distance. Then you can come back, if there's time in the session, to come back to the stone, drink some more liquid light, that kind of thing, do a little the blessing there with the lying down on the stone. Do what, you know, how it flows, and then bring them on back. Now, this happens sometimes. I mean, I do. This can be separate, two separate things, the past life regression and the forgiveness stuff. But there are times when I've come across stuff that is too complicated to just say, okay, what's the lesson? And then here we go, and la-di-da. It's not always as clean as that. Sometimes there's more stuff in it all. So that's when we can use this love and forgiveness part to come together. Okay? Never ask leading questions. That was something about the past life regression stuff. I've been with, you know, I've seen videos and I've seen people there and they're asking a leading question. It's like, don't. If you were listening to tapes that I've had, there's long pauses. Okay, so you've got a client that goes into they've gone through the door. Why do I give them three doors? Okay, sorry. I'm trying to get all this done in like a minute. You've got the staircase. Up or down, it's their choice. Always give as many choices to your clients as possible. Up or down, their choice. Most of mine go up. Some go down. Three doors, not one door, because then they've got more choices. It's their choice which door. I ask, does it open out away from you or in towards you? Ask them to describe the door so it kind of anchors all that. They go through on the other side. The first question I ask, like I asked you guys, what are you sensing on the other side? Not what you see, not what you touch or whatever it is. Because that their primary sense will come through first. And then you help them establish there. All I see is darkness. What kind of darkness do you see? Just black. Okay, what kind of black do you see? There's ways that I use to kind of nudge them along if I can. If there was something in the distance, what do you think it would be? Sometimes you have to be creative to encourage the opening up. Or, because remember, you've got three doors, maybe we need to go into another door. Yes, let's go into the other door. And they open the door, and it's like, oh, here we are. We're in the lifetime.
Okay, can you ask them, what do you want to see?
That might be a question. I've had clients come back, and they say, I don't know, I feel like I've made this all up. I said, well, perhaps you've made it all up. But you chose, your higher self chose this scenario over a billion other choices. So this was in itself significant. This was important just by itself. So, any other quick questions or anything? Nothing? Okay, I guess I'm supposed to say thank you. What? Oh! Oh.
Do you have other questions, or do you, your book, is that a good thing to look at? Or
well, the book that I do have is a more of a novel about the secrets of life, which I could show you. But I would be happy to answer any questions. You know, if when they bring down the gavel and we're done here, I'm happy to talk to anybody about any of this.
I don't know if this is a quick question or a long question, so you'll have
yes.
to call me.
The bottom one?
Where it says to untie the bindings and everything else.
Oh, untie the bindings. That's another thing. Some people, some therapists like to cut cords. That's, to me, that's kind of an aggressive thing. But think of it, if you have a bar here that's the person, and we've got something tied onto this, and we cut over here, what do we got here? The knot. Let's untie this knot and release it. So there's nothing here at all. That's how I look at it. I know other people say, "No, it's got to be cut." But I'm, you know, Mr. Peace and Love, and nothing aggressive.
In those three doors again, I didn't hear one of them.
Didn't hear one of.
Three doors that they go through.
They can go through any. They need to choose one of those doors.
What are the three doors?
Whatever they create. I've had all kinds of things. Some have been like stone doorways. They've been just your regular rectangular door, you know. And I've had some that have been like, it's sort of like a little cubbyhole thing to go down. It's whatever comes out. But I have them have three doors, so they have more choices.
This one is what your future or your higher self wants you to see. What were the other two doors that you mentioned? Like
again, those are three doors that the higher self.
So you didn't label them at all?
No, I don't label anything.
Oh.
I give them the and that's why I said if we find nothing behind one door, okay. Well maybe let's try a different door. And they say, and they come back out, and they're looking at the doors. Oh well, this one is kind of nice. Let's go over here. And look at what's behind this door. So what's that game show thing behind door number one, door number two? But it gives them an opportunity for free creation. I am not giving them any leading questions at all. Go to the castle and see what you got. You know, that doesn't... Then you're in a guided meditation. You probably noticed the difference between the guided meditation we did and the past life regression we did. Did you guys go where you needed to go today?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a good enough time?
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming. Yeah, warm my heart. And I'm here the rest of the weekend. If you've got any questions or anything, or you know how to contact me, please do. Thank you very much.